So today is the day of Pentecost, and I don't know how that was, but I would guess that it was a pretty exciting time when the Holy Spirit was introduced in a formal way, kind of. And I don't have a message on that exactly, but as I thought of that, it's like, okay, so when I come to church or when we're gathered together, am I excited about? Is the Holy Spirit living in me and am I allowing the Holy Spirit to use me to be that vessel, a vessel of honor? And this morning, as Gerald talked about the walls being shaken, and I think sometimes for me it needs to be shaken just to kind of get me back into focus. Where am I going? What's going on in life? And so, and then the devotional that Merv shared, how true that is. We probably don't realize the impact that we have on each other in the wealth and the richness that we have in having brothers and sisters in Christ the way we do. And we almost take it for granted, I think. And for a message this morning, I would like for us to look at John chapter 13. And most of you know that is the foot washing scripture. And I don't know if I've ever preached a message on John 13, but this week I came across this scripture. Now, there's so much in this scripture, much more than just washing somebody's feet. But a lot of the things that Jesus did were for a principle. And even today in our Sunday school, we talked about the fact that Jesus often said that I came to do the will of him who sent me. And I think that was a lot of that was for us as well. It's like we are not our own. Our goal is to do the will of God. And often when I become depressed or I face anxiousness or anxiety, it's when my focus is on me. That's my experience. And so I think we'll read the first 17 verses. And this took place, of course, after Jesus had gotten his feet washed with a precious ointment, right, in chapter 12. And we know that that there was this fellow, Judas Iscariot, that kind of complained about that. Why was this precious ointment wasted? And Jesus said, "Let her alone. Against the day of my burial has she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always." And last Sunday, Arnold talked about that the fact that Jesus is no longer here in person, yet he is here in spirit, and what a blessing that is. But then later in that chapter, it says that, I think it was sinking into him what was about to happen. The hour is come. So as we look at chapter 13, Jesus' ministry as it had been is coming to a close. And now he's going into a different phase where he is going to be offered up. And so he has this intimate time with his disciples. And I think that John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17 are some of the most intimate words that Jesus gave. And I think we do well to study them. And so he's moving to the Feast of the Passover. Verse 1 says, "Now before the Feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come and that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, The devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garment, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel with which he was girded. Verse 6, then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus said and answered and said to him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part of me with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, you are not all clean. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Familiar scripture, right? But as I look at this scripture, and I've tried to imagine the heaviness that was on Jesus' heart, the realization that this was the time for him to sacrifice his life, the purpose of his coming. And yet, he takes the time to teach his disciples, his 12 that he had chosen. And Jesus said he knew that the hour had come. And also the first verse where it says that having loved his own who were in the world, as I think of that, he chose the 12 disciples. And probably if we would have been in charge of choosing people, we may not have chosen those people. But here's the thing. God chooses people. Jesus chose these people who were faithful to him to the end, except for Judas, as it had been prophesied. And he also knew that he was going to go back to the Father. In verse 3 it says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand. So if you think about this, Jesus knew his position, right? And I think one of the most amazing things about Jesus is that he had the power to do anything he wanted, and yet he submitted to the will of God to remain faithful to what God had called him to do. So as we look at him loving those who he had chosen, they were his own. They were his. They were his. And I think that phrase or that thing is important for us as well. We are his own. Not so much that we have chosen him, but that he has chosen us, and we have accepted that invitation. And I think that's so important for us to realize that my position in Christ Jesus is because he chose me. I'm his. And this morning, even in our Sunday school lesson, talked about my dear children. We are children. We are his children. And how much he loves us. And the other thing is that how many of us have struggled with this whole thing of being loved? I think all of us do. We struggle with that from time to time. It's like, how can God love me if I'm experiencing this? Nobody else is experiencing this. I'm experiencing this. How much does God love me? Then you have to go back to the truth. Just give it a little bit of a something that happened to me a couple weeks ago. It was after I had preached a sermon. And the next day I just felt just kind of blah. Like, that was just really flat. You can probably identify with that, Delmer, can't you? But here's the thing. So what made me feel flat? Because my focus was on me, right? And that night we had a minister's meeting, and one of the things we're doing is reading through scripture, like read a chapter together as at our meeting. We just read the chapter and make a couple of comments. But that scripture for that day was 1 Corinthians 4. And I thought, wow, what a coincidence, right? It talks about us being we're going to be judged by God, not by man. And a lot of times the reason we're down on something is because of we fear of what other people think of us, don't we? I think that's a lot of the things that cause our troubles, is that we think of what other people think about us. And each of us is tempted to try to please everyone, when in essence, the judge that we have is God. And God is a righteous judge. He's not going to make any mistakes. He knows my heart. And that was the scripture that I had. The point is, it's like when I began to read those verses, it was like God speaking to me, and I'm realizing again, here's the truth. Here's where I can gain truth. And the Word of God is so loaded, so rich with that kind of thing. That is how we experience love. We get back into the Word. So now let's look at Judas. Jesus washed the 12 disciples' feet. And when he came to Judas, he says, "Nah, I'm not going to wash your feet." No, he didn't. He washed his feet. And he knew that he was going to betray him. How many of us wash people's feet, as it were, to people who do not love us? And I think that was the challenge for me, is like, this is the same Judas that had been sent out with the other 12 to cast out demons and on a mission trip. This is the same Judas. And here he knew. And the verse says that supper being ended, and we know that probably supper wasn't, maybe that's not quite the best interpretation. It probably makes more sense that it was in progress, because supper kind of kept on going if we look at the rest of the chapter there. But it says this, that the devil having already put into the heart of Judas. When did this happen? You ever think about that? It's like when people, all of a sudden you hear of people who've done some pretty bizarre things, and it's like, how did they get to that point? But somehow the devil was working through Judas. And then Jesus' position as the King of Kings, the Creator of the universe, gets down on his hands and knees, says he laid aside his garments. And I think that's symbolic as well. When you think of what Jesus did, is that he laid aside, it's really the story of the gospel of Jesus coming down. He laid aside his garments, the garments of a king, the garments of the Son of God. He laid aside those things. And he laid aside his garment, the thing that that identified who he was, and took a towel and girded himself with it. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel with which he was girded. And I think, as I think of John remembering all these things, the intimate, John makes mention of himself as being the disciple whom Jesus loved. And today, I think all of us need to say that. I'm the disciple that Jesus loved. It's my position. And I think all the others probably felt the same way. And I don't think John was saying that in a way of, yeah, I'm the only one. But I think it was an identification of, I'm the disciple whom Jesus loved. And I think that each one of the other ones felt that as well. And I don't think he was doing it as a proud thing or whatever. But as we think of even this being Memorial Weekend, the things that we remember, the things that we remember as soldiers who went before us, and I think especially of the disciples, I think especially, of course, of Jesus, what he did for us, but of the disciples who were faithful to bring us what we have today. But I also think of those who have gone before us here in our earthly manner, who affected our lives. And we can choose to make good out of that or bad. So Jesus is washing their feet. And I don't know if Peter was really paying attention or what he was doing. I think he had ADD. I'm not sure what he had, but all of a sudden, Jesus comes to him. And if you look at the culture of the day, the person that was supposed to wash feet was supposed to be a slave or a servant, the low person. And I think the thing that we can get from this is that God wants us to be humble. He wants us to go low. He wants us to stoop and do the things that maybe to us seem like we're too high qualified for that. But to stoop and do those things that will assist other people. But here we have Jesus wiping, washing the feet and wiping them with a towel. And as he was wiping the feet with a towel, he was completing the mission. And as he wiped their feet, if you think about it, their feet were used to get to places, right? They didn't get in their Teslas or whatever, but they walked. And their feet were a dirty mess. And as Jesus wiped their feet with a towel, the towel probably got dirtier and dirtier. Washing away our sins, and then he discarded the towel. And if you think about this, when they entered this room, what were the disciples doing? They were arguing about who's the greatest, right? And we think, wow, they just didn't get it, did they? But isn't that kind of our heart? We want to kind of see who's the greatest. And so we have, and I think that's part of the reaction that Peter had. And even as Jesus rose from supper, a place of comfort, Jesus rose from his throne, and Jesus laid aside his garments, laid aside his glory, took a towel, girded himself, ready to work. He took the form of a servant, and he came ready to work, to do the will of the Father. Jesus poured water in a basin, ready to clean, and he poured out his blood to cleanse us from the guilt and the penalty of sin. And then it says that Jesus sat down again. And I think that's symbolic of Jesus again sitting at the right hand of God. And again, he took on his... it says that he took on his... In verse 11, it says, he taken his garments, he sat down again. And I think that his glory was restored. We know it was. And he sat down at the right hand of the Father again. But as I look at the account of Peter, and I think this is symbolic of, and I don't know what you get of that part where Jesus came to Peter and Peter said, you're not going to wash my feet. And we know that what Jesus had done earlier was where Jesus told him, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And we know that when Judas betrayed Jesus, Jesus didn't say anything like that, but he said, "What thou doest, do quickly," I think. But as I think of Peter here, recognizing that this is wrong. Jesus shouldn't be washing my feet. But there's symbolism in that as well. And he goes like, and so then after that, Peter says, "Well, just wash me. Just wash the whole thing. Use the power washer." But I like the symbolism even in that, is that each one of us, he says, you are clean. If you are a Christian, you're clean. However, there's a difference between sonship and fellowship. As Christians, we are sons and daughters of God, right? That's our position. But what God wants is fellowship. And there are things of this world that cause our feet, as it were, to get dirty. We pick up the dirt, the filth of this world that probably hinder our relationship, our fellowship with God. And so what is it that washes us? It's the washing of the Word. And I'm so convinced of that. Even what I said about that earlier, about if you're struggling with something, maybe you need a boost from somebody else, or maybe you need to just look at some scripture. Maybe God usually gives scriptures. It's amazing. And that's why part of the prescription, or part of the solution, is hiding the Word of God in my heart, or whether it's a song in my heart. Am I allowing that to minister to me? So Jesus said, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet." And I don't know if I understand totally what all that is about, but I think it's something that it's an ongoing relationship that we must cultivate with Jesus. We are saved. We don't need to be re-saved, as it were. But we need to have an ongoing cleansing of God working in my life. I mean, how well I know that. I need it, because I become filthy. I become self-centered. I look at my own self. And he whose mind is, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Malachi said that. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. That is the key. That is. And so as I think of Jesus using this as an example, and he goes on and later has a new commandment. It doesn't say this, "A new commandment I give you, that you wash each other's feet." That's not the commandment. I don't know I think God wants us to wash each other's feet, but I think more than that is the symbolism of what that represents. And that is that I need to lower myself, to get down, and to be on a same level, or even an under that level, stooping, doing the stinkiest work that there is. Because I think the slaves were the ones that often did the washing of the feet of the servants. But as I look at that whole thing of us washing each other's feet, how do I wash your feet, as it were? How do I wash my fellow brother's feet? Or how do I wash someone else's feet who is very unlovely, who has really dirty feet? But I think in some ways that God calls us to do that, to wash one another's feet. And I don't think it's just the literal washing of getting out a basin, although I think that's a good practice. And I think it's a good reminder for us, even as we do that at communion service. Maybe we should do it more, I don't know. But it's in verse 15, it says this: I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. And if you think about that, that is the entire, how would you say, the entire focus of being a Christian, is that I do what Christ has done, or follow his example. He never pushed his own agenda like he could have, because he was God, but he was man. And the things that he did, these things have I done so that you may, as an example, I think. There's other verses where it talks about that. And he says this, that a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who sent greater than he who sent him. He who is sent greater than he who has sent him. Humility. But I the title, I've entitled the message actually, Love in Action. And I think this is just kind of a beginning of really what Jesus is about to do. But he acted out a parable, I think, in person. And it made a huge impact, I believe. And then in verse 17 it says, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. So God calls us not only to know things. We can know a lot of stuff. And one of the, as I was studying this, there was an example given of somebody who works out in a gym, and they're just lifting weights, and they've just really got muscles, you know. And the guy asked him, "So what do you do with your muscles?" Well, you know, he just kind of showed him, you know, but what do you do with them? And isn't that kind of how it is in our Christian life? We can know a lot of stuff, but what are we doing with them? How am I washing other people's feet? How am I putting into action God's love? And I think that's the challenge that I face. We can have ever so much a passion for something, but if we don't put it into action, it's probably going to not have much of an effect. So even in church life, if there's a position that's, maybe it doesn't seem like much of a position, maybe it's cleaning the toilets. Someone compared Jesus washing the feet to our president washing the toilets at the White House. And we would almost never imagine that happening, right? Well, let's suppose he would. Wouldn't that make an impression? If a person is willing to get dirty and to not be snooty and think of himself more highly than he ought to think. I'm going to end with a scripture from Romans chapter 12, where it says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Chapter 12, verse 10 to 21. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope and patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil, having regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him, and if he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And I think, really, if you think about this list, it's kind of a list of, that's how I wash feet. That's how I'm washing feet. It's by showing honor, giving preference to one another. And that's amazing, the wealth that we have as brothers and sisters in Christ here. And I appreciate that. Even just, yeah, receiving words of encouragement and getting texts from people that say, hey, I'm praying for you. And that's the boost that we need. And I was just, as I was looking at some of the things that Warren Wiersbe said, he talked about the whole thing of us being clean, and I think I covered that already. But Ephesians 5:25 and 27 says that just as Christ loved the church, he gave up his life for her. And verse 26 says, to make her holy and clean, washing by the cleansing of God's word. And I think we can't underestimate that. The power of God's word washing us and keeping us in that fellowship with Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for the wealth of your word and even the example that you left through Jesus. And I pray that even as we are sent, the words that we use that are from you, and as they are received by other people as well, they are then in essence receiving your word. And may we realize that our life may be the only feet washing that anybody ever receives. And I pray that you would just anoint us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Give us grace, give us strength to act it out, and not to only just know it, but help us, Lord, to act out the things that you want us to do. We commit this day to you. May you be honored and glorified. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'd like to just open it up briefly if anybody has